soloing melodically. There's a lot of different pieces, and we're gonna hopefully do a summary of the entire thing tonight.
Got it. So need to warm up?
Yeah. So, we're gonna start with the easiest one, which is phrase clarity, meaning you make sure that each phrase is, it's absolutely clear when one phrase ends and one phrase begins. If you would, let me do one cycle, like we'll play a blues and B flat like we were just doing.
Okay.
And you'll comp, or one or two cycles, and then if nothing else, you're going to judge me on, you know, how well was I clear on where the phrase, one phrase ends and one phrase begins. I still tend to do this after all these years, decades. I just get carried away, and then I don't allow enough space between phrases, and then it just ends up sounding like one long, long phrase, and people start tuning out. So here we go. One, two, three.
Okay,
I think you got the idea. Now you try it.
Yeah. Okay.
One.
I know this is something I'm terrible at.
Good. So one, two, three, one. Nice job. How does it feel to play that like that?
It requires a lot of thinking of just like, what am I going to do next?
Okay. So interestingly enough, I, as opposed to the way you were playing before we started recording, when we were just doing a warm-up, I felt taken along for the ride as a listener.
This time.
Like you played less. I thought you were going to say it was less work. Because you played fewer notes and you left more space. I felt like I was taken along for the ride, and that we were going on a journey together. That, you know, that's really what it's supposed to be. It's a very simple thing. People don't do it. So phrase clarity is a big one, right? Okay. All right, moving on. We're going to do a bunch of them. There's no one. This is why, you know, people ask me, you know, how do I solo more melodically? Because there's a lot of different elements to it.
Yeah.
And any one of them can make your soloing more melodic, but all of them, you know, paying attention to all of them, whether, like, having internalized all of them and having it be subconscious, then you're always going to sound melodic, you know.
Can I ask a question?
One is to simply have the phrases be different lengths, and it also shouldn't be that hard. You're still going to make a clear delineation when one phrase ends, when one phrase begins, but make the phrases different lengths. I'll demonstrate. One, two, three. Obviously, that was short and long. Super long, and that was short. Your turn. Careful.
Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm. Careful, yeah, you sometimes get off key. You had a really short phrase, like two or three notes, and I was like, wow, that was really short and nice. And then right after that, you did a one note phrase, and I was like, oh, she topped herself, you know, like
there we go.
Like you outdid yourself. You can't get any shorter than one phrase, but you made it count, like a B.B. King like type thing, where that one note sounds super sweet. So people don't do that as much. It's not that hard, but it definitely adds.
I mean, just kind of like...
I just meant the one note phrases in general. I mean, you could slide into it. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, good. And then the next part, when you started getting into theme and variation, where you were playing a lick and then you varied it a little. Before we get to that, we're going to do question and answer phrasing. Okay. Question and answer doesn't necessarily have to mean that the first phrase goes up and second phrase goes down. It just means that somehow the second phrase is in response to the first phrase. And so let me demonstrate a little bit. So I'm going to think in phrases in groups of two, basically. One that has some kind of statement and or a question, not even whatever. And the other one is a reflection on it somehow. One, two, three. You heard that. I got a little complicated in there, maybe more complicated than I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I tried to have, there's some, this is going to lead into phrase congruency, but I should have been more simple in my examples, like, you have that as your question, and you just change the ending. The simplest way is you repeat most of the phrase exactly, but then change the ending. That's what I should have done more of.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to do that. One, two, three, four. That's it, exactly. I lost a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go back to what you started off doing, which was repeat the phrase exactly and then vary the ending. One, or you don't have to do the same phrase again, but here we go. One, two, three, go. Good. think sounds good. You were doing like 1-bar phrases, 2-bar phrases, and 4-bar phrases. I don't know if you were conscious of that. You can listen back to this. Like some of, you know, it actually works really well with 2-bar phrases. So let me demonstrate that. Like, yeah, you repeat two, you do a 2-bar phrase and then repeat that. It's just long enough that you can remember what you did, but not too short and not too long. Like, it's just right. Like, 1, 2, 3, you have like... I'm doing theme and variation a little bit, like I'm adapting the lick to fit the Kamana context, which is something you asked me about earlier. But for now, just do 2-bar call and response. Repeat most of the phrase, but change the ending. Just 2 bars. If you're wondering what 2 bars is, like, that's it.
No, so that it's was, just count of eight.
Yeah, count of eight. Yep. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Repeat that, so don't leave a hole, because then that's going to end up being 4 bars. So in other words, and then you would repeat some other ending. Now a new phrase. And then repeat most of that. So you went like this. You went like this. 3, 4, 1. And you'd repeat. Now a new phrase, you know.
Okay, wait. Right. I can do this.
Yeah, I know you can. 1, 2, 3. All right. So you're on the right track. I think we should do some more work on 2-bar phrases. That seems to be, and it's a common thing that I do with people. Do a 2-bar phrase and then repeat it exactly, no changes, just so you can reinforce what is 2 bars. I'm gonna demonstrate 1, 2, 3, 4. Exact. Oops. You got the idea. Repeated, even though on that last one it didn't fit harmonically, I still made myself repeat it exactly. 1, 2, 3, go. Exactly. Next phrase. No embellishing. Repeat exactly. So that was 1 bar. That was 1 bar. That was 1. That actually would have been 2 bars right there. You would have had to repeat that whole thing twice more.
Okay.
You see what I mean? You went into 1 bar. I just want you to be conscious of 2-bar phrases is the most melodic. Like, most pop songs are 2-bar phrases.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this.
That's count why. Count 4.
Yeah.
I know I can do that.
Yeah, not a problem. 2, 3, 4. Now a new one. That was 1 bar. That was 1 whole.
Yeah.
Just giving you the sense of 2 bars.
Yeah.
You're still doing 1 bar sometimes. All right, take your time. No worries. We got time. We got time.
This.
Yeah, you got it. You can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it's it.
There it is.
Yeah, no, repeat it. Repeat it exactly. All right, let's play a little game. You're going to play two bars, and I'm going to repeat back to you exactly what you play. But this isn't, it's not supposed to be an ear training thing, like, so I might not be exact. But the rhythm.
I need it.
So we'll do it at 108. So you play first. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now you by yourself, repeat it exactly. And now a new phrase. No, you're still not hearing it. It's okay.
Can I just do simple phrases?
Yeah, you're supposed to keep them simple, because otherwise you won't remember. Here we go. Talking good. Perfect. That's one.
Yeah.
And when that happens, just repeat both. Here's a new one. Now we're talking. Sounding more melodic just because of there's like a shape to the
I hear it. I really, really hear that.
So yeah, doing two bar exact repetition, and do you have to do that first before you do theme and variation? So I kind of reversed the order earlier, you know, so it's fine that
I really do hear it.
Yeah, good.
I'm
gonna record this. Perfect. You're repeating it almost exactly, and then you're varying the endings, which is exactly right. You're having a little conversation, you know. You're taking the listener on a journey. This is good.
That's like some.
And it's because there's like a I'm no poet or anything, but you know they talk about iambic pentameter and everything, and all these like forms of poetry, like, and the forms exist because they're actually fun for the reader, like they're structured.
Yeah.
And so it's subconsciously fun and gives structure to the listener when it's two bar phrases. And this leads to the next thing. We're gonna come back to theme and variation in a little while. But the next part is like being rhythmically conscious of what you play. You know, we think of melody as like pitches, and we're gonna talk about pitches. You know, there's rhythm in everything, so You could have the best pitches, but poor rhythm, and it still won't sound right.
Yeah.
You could have poor pitches with great rhythm, and it'll sound decent. It's a weird thing. So in a way, like, rhythm's more important.
I'm like ready for you to scream out, "Rhythm sucks."
I've taught the good, bad, and the ugly. Your rhythm does not suck, but I have this one program called Rhythm for the Rhythmically Challenged that I've made. You did not need that, but
oh, thank goodness!
If anyone's listening to this, thinks they might need that, I'll be happy to give it to you. But no, I mean, like, basically, like, people, like, they can't even strong. And I'm not dissing it. It's just everyone has strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
Who can't even like hear a song and like know where the beat is. Like,
okay,
there are people like that.
Yeah, like, you know. Or at least what I noticed.
Bringing consciousness to rhythm. Say we're at 108. We're in B flat. Let's just go over the obvious rhythmic options, not the weird, obscure ones.
Please, like, let's not do sevens again.
Yeah, we won't do sevens. So just do whole notes with me, like 3-4, like 2-3-4, 1-2-3. All right, let's make this the one. So 1-2-3-4, 1-2. Thank you. And then let's go to 2 notes per bar. We could skip 3 if you want. 3 would be.
Yes.
Let's skip that one. Even I didn't play it right for the first bar or two. Here's 4. Certainly skip 5. We should do 6s though, which sounds like. And then 8. And then 12. So it goes da 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 da. You can do it picking or hammer ons and pull ups, it doesn't matter, but.
Yeah, I know
it can keep up. Yeah, it sounds good. You're picking a lot, and that's not a bad thing. You might have less work if you do some. Can you just do single hammer ons? Locked in as they could be, but it's something for you to work on. But you got the idea. A little more on that. 3-4. Now 16ths, if you can get them. Like 1E and a 2E and a 1E and a 2E and a. Yeah, you're still going back to triplets. Easiest way to get at it is if you play 4 notes and then repeat the first note you started on. So suppose you're on the top 2 strings. Yeah. So you're playing a total of 5 notes because 4 of them take up the 1 beat and the 5th one lands on the next beat. Yeah. And then do that on every string. Wait, let's hear that. Let's hear the strings 3 and 2 again. Yeah, you're adding more notes. This is what happens to guitar players. I still do it to this day.
No.
Uh-huh.
There it is.
Three, four, like... Says yeah, you can do the next. And then last. Good job. And then let's go back the other way, where you'll start on string 5, fret 3. Finger 3, so it'd be fret 8 in this case. You'll play 4 descending notes, and then back to the original note, like this. Yeah. Now the next set of strings, start on string 4, 3, 4. Nice, Lauren. Three, four. Good, next string. Next string. And then top string. Good. So now in this part of the melodic sequencing, we'll do any rhythm. You can either, there's so many ways to do it. You could decide on what rhythm, two rhythms to use. Like, all right, let's do that first. I was gonna open it up and do any rhythm. But pick me any two rhythms that we just did. Meaning 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, or 16 notes in a bar.
6 and 12.
All right, 6 and 12. So, and then we have to decide like how many, like let's say if I did one bar of each. So it'd be, all right, now you try. 6 notes and then 12 notes. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, good. You rushed it. The 12, you're actually your weakest one, so you rushed it. But otherwise you got the right idea. Good, pick another two. We won't spend time refining that right now. This is just an overview of melodic soloing.
4 and 8?
4 and 8 is good. So 3, 4, like, or 2, 3 would be, good. Now let's open it up to any rhythms you like, but it should be like conscious, like which one you're doing. Like one, let me demonstrate 3, 4. Before. Good. Even the 12s are clean now. Good. That's going to help your melodic phrasing a lot. And you'll still get carried away and forget about the rhythm sometimes, but the more you practice like that, the more at least you'll be conscious of the fact that you're not conscious of it, if that makes any sense.
What did you say about getting
like,
carried
if you
away?
Get carried away and then catch yourself, at least you're conscious of not being conscious of it, right? So that's it's what still happens to me. I still get carried away. and I play a phrase that was not rhythmically conscious. It's the only real word for it. It's not really right and wrong. It's just, was it something that I knew what it was or I didn't know what it was?
Yeah.
Like, I was just trying to fit in as many notes as I could before the next downbeat. That's what you do, you know. Other instruments, not so much. They don't do it as much. I don't know why. Guitar is like a thing. It's, so that's very good, the rhythmic part of it.